The DivaCast, number 58, 26 July 2007. Everybody, we are the divas of the divacast.com. We are five fun, fabulous 40-something friends, and we are here to delight, inspire, validate, affirm, and just have fun, okay? Just have fun.
Very good, Suzanne.
Woo! That is the definition of a diva, and you are one. So this is Suzanne.
Hey, I'm Sharon.
And I'm Amy.
And I'm Carrie, and we believe inside every woman is a diva.
We're missing Julie today. She's at the lake.
Oh, yeah.
We miss you, Julie.
Yeah, hey, Julie.
Hey, Julie.
I called her today, and she was out on the boat. She goes, I'll call you back.
Oh.
They're out knee boarding, so.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah.
She's got a great little gig going up over there at the lake, I mean.
Gig going up?
A gig at the lake.
Yes, she does.
Yeah, we've had some good times at the lake.
Yeah.
But we're going to have
a good time.
We're going to have a good time today.
Yes, we are.
I'm excited. But you want to tell a little story, Sharon?
I do. Okay, first of all, I've lost 2.5 pounds.
Oh! How's it been? How's it been going?
Oh, my gosh. It's hard.
No wonder you have a migraine.
Yes. But that includes 4 days of vacation and 4th of July. So I'm good with all that.
That's huge.
Yeah.
But I wanted to share a moment here because... You know, Doug's telling me, okay, Sharon, I don't understand why you have to pay for Weight Watchers.
Doug, your husband. I mean,
yes, Doug, my husband. It's like, you know, you just got to eat right and exercise. Well, you know, of course, it's
He's
not
a
that
guy.
Simple. Yeah, it's not that simple. So I'm trying to explain to him how women have more body fat than men and how much more difficult it is to mm-hmm. lose weight, blah, blah, blah. Spin ahead the next day. Carrie comes over, tank top, running shorts. Mm. She's dropping something off. We're talking a few minutes. She leaves. I'm back at the computer. My husband comes back, taps me on the shoulder. He says, Sharon, you know how you said women have more body fat than men? And I said, yes, honey. He goes, I think Carrie's a man.
She is. You didn't know that?
Oh,
that's like the dirty little secret.
She's not. She's a lovely, wonderful woman.
I guess
she's all woman, honey.
I guess Doug had been pondering that for a little while.
Oh.
So,
I wonder why he didn't say that about Amy.
Well, you didn't come over with tank top and
That's funny.
So anyway, so that's my Weight Watcher story today.
Congratulations. I still want the recipe for the margaritas.
Oh, that's...
The Weight Watchers margaritas,
Yeah.
Did we talk about that already?
Okay.
We talked about it, but we got to get on the website.
All right, we'll get on the website.
Yeah.
And sangria, too.
Oh, yeah. Diet sangria?
Diet sangria. I've had that now. I haven't had the margaritas
yet. How was it?
It was good.
Okay, just tell us what's in it real quick.
Just go for it.
Diet cranberry juice.
Okay.
And fresh fruit. Cut up some fresh fruit. And you add red table wine.
Excellent. Now, can you count the fresh fruit as part of your helpings for the?
Absolutely. If you eat them,
you count everything, right?
Yeah, and the fruit is the thing that soaks up all the alcohol. So
correct.
You are
yeah.
Good
so
stuff.
It's good. It's good stuff.
Okay. I think I'm ready to sign up with you.
Yeah. As I'm on vacation eating the fried shrimp and ice cream, Doug's looking at me saying, well, I think I could do Weight Watchers too.
Hey, shrimp is very low-cal.
Not fried, honey. Okay, so what's going on? Anything?
Just busy, busy. You know, I'm really excited about the person that we're interviewing today. Yeah. I mean, I read the book, and it's just a riot, her whole position on it.
Her position?
Whoa, whoops! Yeah, we are talking about sex.
Yeah, tell us who we're interviewing.
Okay, well, we are interviewing Leanne Dolan today, and she is also very well known as one of the Satellite Sisters.
And so here's her whole chapter is about how she doesn't want to talk about sex. So I have a list of questions for her here.
Sharon, now you need to behave.
Wait, what would those be?
What's your favorite position?
Right.
She'll hang up on us in like 2 minutes.
Just kidding, Leanne. Okay.
Well, her book has just come out, and it's not exactly her book. The book is actually a compilation. Could I say that right?
Compilation?
Compilation.
I think you can say it however you want to say it,
okay.
Suzanne.
Thank you, sweetie, of different authors. Very, very well written, by the way. And the book is entitled Over the Hill and Between the Sheets, Sex, Love, Lust in Middle Age.
And go to our website and you can see the book, thedivacast.com. And let's go ahead and shall we
give her a ring?
Yeah. Let's do it. Leanne is a co-host and youngest sister of the nationally syndicated radio show Satellite Sisters, and she's a professional writer. Leanne has done some really cool things, like she has just contributed to a book called Over the Hill and Between the Sheets, Sex, Love, and Lust in the Middle Age. Not in the Middle Ages, in Middle Age of Hawaii.
And I don't really know that much about sex in the Middle Ages.
And the editor is Gail Belsky. Leanne is also the senior editor of Satellite Sisters Uncommon Senses, the sisters' memoir of growing up together. She writes a monthly column in Working Mother magazine called The Chaos Chronicles and has been published in some magazines such as O, the Oprah magazine, and Good Housekeeping. Leanne lives in California with her husband and two school-age sons. So, okay, Leanne, let's talk sex, girl.
I think you called the wrong number. That's my whole point. I don't like to talk about sex.
I know.
Are you guys comfortable talking about your sex lives?
No, but we'll talk about yours.
We'll listen while you describe yours for sure. No, I'm kidding.
I think some of us are more into talking about our sex lives than others, though.
Can I ask, are those the married ones or are those the ones with partners?
Kathy Lee Gifford. It's a Kathy Lee Gifford.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it's funny, Divas, when I got this call from this editor in New York to write this book, to contribute an essay, I was like, oh, yeah, sure, because I'm a writer. So when someone calls you up out of the blue and says, we'll pay you to write, you go, yeah, okay, right. I'm sure I can cover the subject. And then I hung up the phone and I was like, oh, my gosh, I don't even talk about sex to my husband. How am I supposed to write 2,500 words about this? I've just never been the kind of girl to open up about my sex life.
Well, that the chapter was perfect. It was hysterical how you talked about your mom and how she was so closed-mouthed about the subject.
And your sisters as caramelized nuns.
Well, I think anybody that's grown up in a big Catholic family understands that really the only birth you talk about is the virgin birth. Yeah. So it's just not that helpful. You know, Madonna is not a great role model. Say the original Madonna, as opposed to like the material girl Madonna.
Right.
Fantastic role model. And though I love the material girl Madonna, I just, like, the sex gene is not in my family.
It's funny that you say it. This is Sharon. I grew up Catholic as well, and I just remember going back to having the talk. I just remember there was a lot of discussion about angels.
So. Sharon, that's really funny.
I mean,
for us in our family, when we, like, learned about sex, it was, well, we called it, first of all, the reproductive system. I'm not sure I ever heard my mother say the word sex. But it was really more the mechanics of it, and as opposed to anything else.
Correct.
You know, it was not deep. And when I saw the movie in school, I said to my mom, I had to say to her, okay, I saw the movie today. And she said, well, you have any questions? And I said, no. And then she said, okay, let's go watch Merv Griffin. And that was it. I mean, it's the only conversation we've ever had about sex.
Too funny.
So what do they think then about this book?
My parents?
Yeah.
You know what? I have not said a word to them about it.
They don't even know you.
I mean, they know it's out there because, you know, they've heard me talk about it, but we still have not had a conversation about it. And
hysterical.
Frankly, that's the way I'm going to keep it.
That's funny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wait, now how are you with your sons? Do you, because now your sons are how old? Aren't they getting to be preteens?
They are, sadly. I have a 9-year-old and a 12-year-old.
Oh.
So are you letting your husband handle that subject, or how's that going?
No, actually, I am fine talking to them about it.
Yeah.
Because I know what I didn't get growing up, and there's no blame there. Mm-hmm. It's just I wish I had had some more open conversations. So I am very comfortable talking to them about it at their pace.
That's good.
You know, that's fine with me, and I want them to have the information that I didn't actually get. Some information would have been helpful. I got online from the copy of The Happy Hooker that I found under my sister's bed.
Are you divulging which sister that was, Leanne?
You know what? I won't say any names.
That's probably smart.
But I think they all read it. That's all I can say.
That is too funny.
You know, but I want them to have information about it and to be able to make good decisions. So I'm sort of making it up in this generation. I hope I'm doing an okay job.
I'm sure you're doing a great job.
Thank you.
I This is Amy. I remember I hadn't thought about that Happy Hooker book until I read that in your book. And I was just like, oh my gosh, I remember reading that book as a teenager and thinking, oh, this is just steamy and scary.
It was dirty. Let's face it. It was a dirty book.
It really was.
I never even read that.
But I liked it.
I liked it.
Well, this is Suzanne. I want to know, have your boys then actually read any excerpts? Or I can just imagine two little boys sneaking with their friends. Look at this sex book my mom wrote.
You know what? Here's what happened, Suzanne. I wrote this essay. I wrote about 18 months ago.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, and then it disappears to New York. And I knew the book was coming out. And I had said, oh, I'd love to do a signing here locally in Pasadena, California, where I live. They said, and I like doing public appearances and stuff. And we have a great bookstore here. So I said, oh, yeah, I'll do a reading at Vroman's in the middle of the summer. That'll be a lot of fun. And I didn't think anything about it until the newsletter for the bookstore came out. And it's a widely read newsletter, apparently, because it was only then, when I was, like, on the soccer field, that I had other moms go, so you wrote a book about that?
And
my kids were there. Somebody would say, what was the title of your book? And the kids were like, yeah, Mom, someone asked me about your book. What's it about? I was like, nothing.
That's great.
I completely did not think that one through. So, no, they have not read it. And, you know, it's not super salacious.
Right.
It's more about what I see out there. You know, where everybody seems to have this kind of self-confessional, as you mentioned, Kathy Lee Gifford spirit. Like, let's all share everything we always do. And, you know, my feeling is, I hope you're having lots of sex. I just don't want to hear about it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Well, and you know what? This is Sharon. You watch the soap operas. And, you know, you hate to say it this way, but they build it up.
Sharon, are you saying something about your
answer? I'm just saying, I mean, wow, it looks a lot better between everybody else. I mean, I don't know.
They have better lighting. You have to think of it that way.
Yeah, because in your book, you talk about the woman that, this is what I thought was great. You're talking about the woman who you hardly even know her phone number, and she's opening up to you about her sex life, and you're thinking about her husband with the hairy back. I thought that was hysterical.
Have you had people you identify and you think, I think she could be my friend?
Yeah.
You know, maybe it's a new acquaintance, and you're like, we should actually be clicking here. And this was a woman I thought, hey, this would be excellent. She seems like an excellent person. But I really didn't know her that well, and the next thing I know, she's telling me, like, oh, no, I'm not exhausted because of the new baby. I'm exhausted because my husband wants it morning, noon, and night. And I was like,
oh,
okay, I'm out of here.
Yeah, too much information.
Because this is not the kind of conversation I want to be having with someone I don't know. But I have seen her husband in a suit. Yeah, hairy back. Not a pretty picture.
So
now I see him, and I'm just like, oh, I don't want to think about it.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, but am I a prude?
No, I don't think so. But, Leon, so you don't like having those conversations with acquaintances. What about your sisters? You don't really have those conversations with your sisters either?
Never.
Never?
No, never. Seriously, I can't. You know, I don't ever. There was never, I mean, really fleeting, maybe vague references, but not in that Sex in the City, sitting around, rehashing the night before kind of way. No,
right. So they haven't asked you for any advice or anything?
No, well, I'm the younger sister.
Right.
Come on.
Yeah, but
they were the ones that
you've written about
me,
it.
And they were no help.
Well, what's funny, you guys, I was listening to your show the other day, and you were talking about the movie, you know, the Sex in the City movie that's coming out. So is that about it? That's about as far as you go as talking about sex.
You know what? On the air, we'll have experts on. I mean, I think sex is sort of a clinical topic is interesting in the sense that, like, I think women should be informed. I don't think women should stay in the dark ages. I think there are emotional issues and physical issues and all kinds of important things that doctors or sex therapists or just therapists in general or experts can shed.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a question of me sharing my personal life. That's where I draw the line. Like, I'm all for information. Great. You know, who doesn't read Cosmo? It's fantastic. But if you're looking for me to tell you what I did last night, I'm out.
What did you do last night, Lee?
You really want to know? I took my kids to the circus, okay? Oh, my God. And got stuck in a lot of traffic.
Well, I wanted to recommend to our listeners to look you up on, we can actually have a link, the divacast.com, and go watch you do your book reading on YouTube, because it was just very funny, and it's also very touching the way you got a little choked up when you talked about your husband. That was very sweet.
Very sweet.
Yeah. Oh, thank you. You know, I looked out in the audience and a bunch of my friends were crying. I was okay. But I think that's the way people feel about, you know, their spouses, their husbands or wives, or, you know, their longtime partners. You love what you share together, but that doesn't mean you have to share it with everybody else.
Right, you protect it.
Yeah, I like the way you couch that in your writing and just spoke to that and said, yeah, it's between me and the person with whom I'm doing it.
Yeah.
It's not meant for breakfast conversation the next day.
Well, it takes something away from it. You know, it really does once you start, well, and then he did this, and oh my, you know, it's just there's...
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I agree, but I think there's a whole generation that doesn't so much, and but for me, I do. I want to keep it personal, but I'd like to keep it healthy and alive too. Let's face it.
Oh, that's a nice way to put that. I like that. You know, because so that it doesn't sound like you don't have energy for the romantic part of your life. I like that. That's great.
Thank you.
Yeah. So you're going to disclose what you do to keep it healthy and alive?
She just keeps trying.
I'm sorry. I know. I'm relentless. I'm shameless.
Are you trying to trick me?
Hey, Leanne, this is Sharon. Tell us some of the things y'all do from a romance perspective. Just, you know, do y'all schedule date nights? Do you...
You know, we are so bad about that. I feel like we should. One of the things that we do enjoy doing together are... we enjoy a lot of, like, physical activities, and I'm talking, you know, we go on a lot of hikes together. We're a very active family in general. We go to the beach together, and I think just, you know, that sort of reminds me, hey, he's cute. You know, when we go to the beach, I'm like, hey, I'm a lucky girl.
Aww.
He's great.
Aww.
But one of the things that my husband and I really do try to do, we don't get out much for these date nights, and a lot of that's because of my work schedule. I work very early every morning, and he's a hardworking guy. I'm on the air 6 days a week, so it's kind of a killer. But we definitely make time to have dinner together a lot. Like, I will say to the kids, yeah, you can have a TV dinner tonight because your dad and I are just going to eat in the living room, and we're going to light some candles, and, you know, we're going to open a bottle of wine, and we're going to have a real grown-up discussion. So even though the kids may be in the other room, we really make a lot of time for dinner. And you know the other thing we don't do as a couple? We don't watch a lot of TV.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So at 9 o'clock at night when the kids go to bed, we have time together that's not interrupted by the television. I mean, we watch a lot of sports together. Believe me, we do that. It's not like we never watch TV. But we get to bed early. We can talk. We can hang out at night. And that, I think, really helps.
So you're friends.
We're friends.
Yeah. Andy's cute.
We're friends, yeah. I mean, that's, you know, that's what we do. I don't think of that as, I've never really thought about it as building romance until you actually asked me the question, but we spend a lot of time communicating when we can, you know, so that when the lights go out, we don't have
to. Yeah, no, that's good.
Thanks.
This could go on and on, but as far as you were talking about how nowadays people just put sex out there and talk about it, and especially with the young girls, do you ever think about, I mean, the sexual revolution and all that, how everybody fought so hard for that, and now it's almost like, I mean, I'm putting words in your mouth probably, but sometimes I feel like we've just shot ourselves in the foot, because especially this is Carrie, I've got two young teenage daughters, and
yeah,
dealing with just, I mean, you turn on, you know, we watched MTV back in the 80s or 70s, and now it's like you turn that on and there is just sex, and the way that, you know, everybody dresses, and it's just relentless.
It is relentless, and I think that's the difference from when we were growing up and today. I mean, we could go out and find that copy of The Happy Hooker under our older sister's bed if we wanted to, but it wasn't in our face
right. All
the time.
Right.
So I do look at, like, was this the point of the sexual revolution, that, like, now 12-year-olds have to be confronted with this and be expected to be, quote, hot all the time? It is a very scary time to be a parent, but I feel even worse for teenagers.
Absolutely.
In the sense that it's like they're expected to be sexual. That is very, that is disconcerting to me. I think if, you know, if there's anything that I would try to teach my kids, I have two boys, and sometimes I'm grateful I don't have girls, although I know that sounds like a double standard because boys are half the situation. If there's anything I would want to try to impart to my boys, and I do, it's that you don't have to be a sexual being. There's a lot more to a human being. But I think you're right. It does give you pause about the sexual revolution, like, I'm not sure this was the direction.
But what I was going to say, this is Carrie again, that what I've noticed is you need to be careful for your boys, because I swear there is a turnaround with the girls. They're so much more aggressive. It's like, it's just been a flip-flop. Now the girls are the aggressors and the boys are having to sort of, I don't know, walk away from the girls now, you know, which back when we were growing up, it was the opposite. So
yeah, I'm forewarned.
Yes, ma'am. Yes.
My son is just in middle school. He started last year and we just saw, you know, the beginning evidence of that. Just a couple girls in the class, but aggressive.
Yeah.
And it's hard to know as a parent what to do about that because it's not something, you're right, we encountered in our generation.
Yeah. This is Amy. Leah and I have two boys as well, 14 and 10. And my 14-year-old, it kind of is a late bloomer. He's starting high school, though.
Hallelujah, right? Aren't you glad?
Yeah, and I'm very blessed. And I'm telling you, though, my fifth grader, he's the one who's getting phone calls from little girls. And is probably going to teach my older one a thing or two.
He's going to have the book under his mattress.
Yeah. He's going to be like, no, you do it this way. You know, it's kind of scary. But yeah, those little girls, they're something else.
Look around at their role models and you're like, oh, wow. I mean, first of all, I think you have to look at their mom.
Sure.
Their most immediate role model. Because a lot of women in our generation in their, you know, late 30s, 40s, they're not taking aging well.
Oh, no.
Right.
You know, so they're trying to be 18. And I think that's a difficult message for a young girl to absorb. I think that must be very hard. If you see your mom and she's going out on a limb and she's dressing very young and things like that, I'm always surprised. I look around and I think, well, the apple does not fall far from the tree in terms of attitudes about that.
Yeah, I think you're very right there.
Yeah.
So try to be a good role model.
So I'm guessing your kids are okay.
Well, you haven't seen us yet.
Yeah, that's right.
I've seen you at the website. Yeah, I've seen you. Very nice. How many of you have belly button rings? Anybody?
No.
Okay.
No tattoos.
Yeah,
no tattoos.
We're relatively boring. The most exciting thing we do is get like new color highlights.
That's exciting.
Yeah. Oh, we go out there with toenail polish or something that's really bold.
Hey, I do have one more question.
Okay.
Sure.
What's in the future for the Satellite Sisters?
Well, we're starting to put a lot more stuff up on our website, and so we're definitely looking at doing some fun web-only audio, whether those are special interviews or just a little bit more behind the scenes of our stuff. You know, I'm working on a bunch of stuff personally based on my Chaos Chronicles column, because that's all about being a mom with two kids and a job and a house and a dog. And then, you know, we're planning our dad's 80th birthday party. So that's another thing ahead for the Satellite Sisters.
Oh, that's great. Well, will you say hello to the Diva cast and one of your...
Yes, absolutely.
Well, Leon, you have just been so gracious with your time today. And we have just, this is Suzanne, and you just really lovely to interview. And we thank you so much.
Well, thank you. This was fun. I enjoy sort of getting out on my own and doing my own thing every once in a while. So I was pleased to do it.
Thank you so much.
All right. Shoot me an email. Let me know when it's posted. And I can certainly mention it on my webpage. And then when I'm back on the air, I can mention it again.
You're so wonderful.
Oh, thank you.
Enjoy your party and enjoy your vacation, Leon.
Have a great vacation.
Yeah.
Take care. Bye for now.
Bye-bye.
Hey, guys, we're about to launch our new newsletter from the Divas. And the way you subscribe is we're going to have a link on our website at thedivacast.com. Sign up. And when you do sign up, you're automatically registered for some of the giveaways we have coming up. Our first is we are partnering with The Dinner Affair. And that's where you go and make dinners to bring home for your family. And we're going to have a couple of those giveaways. So, and our first one is you get to come and make dinners with the Divas.
Woo-hoo!
At our local dinner fair. So stay tuned. Go to our website, thedivacast.com, for more details.
Oh, I wanted to give a shout out to the Manic Mommies, you guys. It's their second year anniversary.
Oh, that's right.
Happy anniversary, Manic Mommies.
We love the Manic Mommies. And I think Kristen was the one that had said something about they want to be divas. And I feel like we're manic, so I'm thinking we should just,
we could be manic divas.
That's exactly what I was going to say. Manic divas. Yeah, we should just.
Well, happy anniversary, ladies.
Happy anniversary. Yes.
And thanks, as always, to Natalie Brown. She is our favorite. As always, our opening music is Queen of Me by Natalie Brown.
It's
thanks, everybody.
Fair.
Have a great week.
See you next week.
Bye.
Bye.
The best and the brightest served up daily by the sharpest minds in content delivery, Pod Show, and Limelight. Oh.